Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes again, wherever that you're at, just reaching the world for Christ. And we're just so thankful that you're a part of it. So call in, and our call-in number is 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. So call in, and we'll put you right on the line here with us, reaching the world for Christ. And we'd like to say that we hope and pray that you had a good Christmas and a very good Happy New Year's. And we're just hoping and praying and trusting God that we're going to have a better New Year's this year than we had last year. So, you know, I just thank God for what he's done for us last year, and I praise him for what he's going to do for us this year. So I've got a six-year-old boy here going to sing a song, and then we'll get you that's called in here. We'll get you on here to obey the Lord. Come on.
I went through a skate place, giving him a heart. I went through a score, sweat, pain. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope, pray that he sung loud enough that you could hear him. We got a couple call-ins here, so I'll find out who you are and where you're at, then I'll come back and get you and still obey the Lord. So 931, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Yes, I'm Leon Jones, pastor of the Madisonville Church of God in Madisonville, Tennessee. That's in East Tennessee, Monroe County. It is such a joy to be on the program tonight. We come to you with wonderful greetings, wishing everyone a happy new year and prosperous and blessed new year. 2013 was an awesome year. We saw several people saved and lives touched by the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so glad that God is still God. He's still sitting on the throne, making intercession for his people. Madisonville Church of God welcomes you. Amen. God has blessed us greatly at Madisonville Church of God. People are being saved very often. Every service, the Spirit of God is just showing up and showing out and ministering and blessing, setting people free, healing sick bodies, saving people, and just ministering in a great, great fashion. God is so good. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Great is our Lord, and he is greatly to be praised. No one has ever been to us what the Lord has been to us. I pray that each one is blessed in 2014 like you've never been blessed before. I speak the blessings and the favor of God from Deuteronomy chapter 28 over every one in listening to my voice right now. Amen and amen. God bless you and have a wonderful evening.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you there, Brother Jones, for calling in there. That is our pastor from Madisonville Church of God. So he invites you all out there. Anybody that's listening in this area is welcome to come to Madisonville Church of God on Sunday morning. We have a Sunday school at 10 o'clock and morning worship at 10:45, and then we have our evening service at 6:30 and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. So anybody's invited to come out just to be with us, just to worship the Lord in spirit and truth with us. And God is moving, and at the church they've been souls saved, and people been sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and people been touched and being healed. And I just praise God for what he's doing there. So 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Praise the Lord, Brother Gary. This is Brother John, pastor of Zion Tabernacle in Thomaston, Georgia, and it is a privilege tonight to be on with you and being able to just exhort the Word of God tonight. We just thank the Lord for the opportunity to come once again, and this is a new year and a good day, and we just praise the Lord for everything he's doing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you calling in there, Brother John. 310, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there. Come in there, 310. Tell us who you are and where you're at. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Brother John?
Yeah.
Okay, we got another call in here.
Yes.
931. Okay. Okay, I see now. Getting a bunch of numbers up here. Okay, Brother John, just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, how about Brother Jones? Does he want to go ahead and speak?
No, I'm fine. I'm just listening. Enjoying this. Let's go right ahead.
Okay, he said he just listened. Just go ahead there, Brother John.
Well, praise the Lord for the opportunity to speak the Lord, for the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we are talking about spiritual growth, amen. It's very important, amen, tonight that we do grow in grace. We do grow in the knowledge of grace and different things. And the Spirit of the Lord began to do it. It's so very important that we mature, amen. The cycle of life is, amen, is that we grow and go from our foundation to grow on and to bring forth as a fruit tree, amen, cannot produce fruit until it begins to mature. And as we begin the cycle of life to come into the maturity, amen, and to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And two or three scriptures, amen, that places in the scriptures that God began to deal with me. First one is out of Ephesians, amen, Ephesians chapter 2, amen. And tonight, amen, Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, amen. And the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." God is rich in mercy. He said, "I will have mercy on who I will have mercy tonight." Tonight we have the opportunity to receive that mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." There's an unmerited favor tonight by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know, amen, that the Scriptures teach us, amen, that we are saved by grace, amen, and that saving by grace, amen, that we've been quickened together. In other words, we've been made alive with the Anointed One, the Messiah. We receive him, amen, believing him by faith, and even though tonight, amen, we might be dead in trespasses and sins, but there's a quickening, there's a resurrecting power, amen, and we pass from death unto life, amen, and we just know that, amen, that as he is by his grace, you know, the apostles spoke of in Corinthians, amen, that he said there was a time that there must needs that he would see revelations and visions, amen, but this did not move the apostleship of the Lord, the Apostle Paul, because what he rather gloried, the Bible says, in his infirmities, in his distresses, in his afflictions, that the times, amen, that the Apostle Paul was weak, amen, and no matter where he went through, whether he was in sickness or whether he was in distresses or whether he's in infirmities, he began to glorify God and understand, because that was given unto him, the Bible says, the messenger of Satan to buffet him because of the abundance of revelations that the apostle Paul had received, amen. And the Bible says there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, amen. And the scriptures teach us that he sought for to be delivered of this thorn in the flesh three times, amen. But Jesus spoke to him, and he said, my grace is sufficient. My unmerited favor is enough to get you through. He said, for in your weakness, in other words, in the time tonight, if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's sick tonight, you need to glory, amen. That's a time that the power of Christ is resting upon you. It's a time that the power of Christ is coming upon you. The scripture teaches, let the weak say, I am strong. The Bible speaks of in Proverbs that conies, rock badgers, even though they're weak folk, they make their houses, amen, in the rocks. And what I'm trying to say tonight, amen, and this is what the Lord wants to bring out at this point in time, that, amen, that the grace of God is sufficient for each and every one of you tonight. The unmerited favor, and even tonight, you might be, as Brother Pastor Jones spoke, amen, the blessings out of Deuteronomy, you know, there's blessings and cursings, amen. Those blessings come from being obedient to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, amen. But the cursing comes from being disobedient, amen, and being children of wrath. So we need to understand tonight, amen, that we have the opportunity to walk in the blessings of God, and also as we have the opportunity that the grace of God. But even in the time that the Apostle Paul, amen, the things were upon him, maybe distress, maybe hardships, maybe infirmities, he said that the power of Christ, amen, may rest upon him. He said, for in my weakness, in other words, here's the upside. Maybe you're sick and afflicted tonight. Maybe you're in distress. Maybe you're in hardship. Here's the upside. Here's the Lord's report. Amen. And even though you might be going through that, even though you might be sick, maybe you even have the flu or some kind of infirmity tonight, you need to know as believers tonight that the power of Christ is resting upon you. And as the power of Christ, amen, is resting upon you, amen. He said, I'd rather glory in infirmities and distresses than the power of Christ. For when you are weak, in your time of weakness, amen, in your time of weakness, then are you made strong, because through the his strength, amen, through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the power of Christ, the anointing of Christ rests upon you, it brings you to perfect strength, because at the time you are weak in your flesh is the very time that the power of Christ comes in and perfects you and strengthens you and brings you to the completeness in Jesus Christ. So we praise the Lord for that, amen, that there's an upside, there's an exhortation to the Word of God, and the Bible says, that verse 7 says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is trying to give us a revelation of his riches, amen, amen, of his grace and his kindness. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You need to know tonight that the grace of God and faith of God is the gift of God. So not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained, God has chosen you tonight to walk in the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to understand that it's the Father's works. Amen. He tells us in John chapter 14, he says, these works shall ye do, and greater works, because I go to the Father. The Son has returned unto the Father. There's a completeness, there's a unity, and there's a oneness. So the magnitude of works, amen, the long-term works, amen, we as believers can do the Father's works. You need to know tonight that it's not our works, never will be our works, but it is the works of the Father. The Bible says that the will of the Father is that we believe, amen, the works of the Son, amen, and so that the works of the Son then is of the works of the Father. Says verse 11, yeah. Says, wherefore remember that ye, in being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. In other words, those that have been circumcised, those that have been cut away in the flesh, those that were Jews in the flesh, made by hands. The circumcision was made by hands. That at that time we were without Christ. In other words, at the times that we were in sin, at the times that we were without Christ, Amen. But the Bible says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We didn't have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't have the covenant, amen, that he had given unto Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. We didn't have that covenant at that time, amen. We were without Christ, but tonight we can have it. It says, from the covenant, having no hope and without God in the world. This is the time, and tonight, if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are without the God of hope, if you don't have that covenant of promise, amen, we need not to be, the Bible speaks of, amen, that we need not to be as children, amen, and cunning sleight of hand. In other words, children a lot of times will be deceived by every wind of doctrine when the wind begins to blow and the teaching begins. If you're a child, amen, then any teaching you go, you start to go with that teaching. But we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord today, church. We need to know that the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it is. He said, at the time you ought to be teachers, you're still being taught the first oracles and principles of God. There's a time that we must spiritually grow. There's a time that we must mature tonight, church. There's a time that we must move on from a foundation and go on past where we're at in the beginning. Amen. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm glad that we have an opportunity to be drawn unto the Lord. I'm glad that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, amen, the Bible speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talks about communion, and the Bible says he gave to them that all that sit at his table there on that last supper. Amen, hallelujah. He said, take, drink the cup, because in the cup is the blood of my covenant. In other words, it's the blood of the New Testament. Amen. Because the New Testament would have strength. Because on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ would rise up. And that communion is by the strength of the blood that's in the cup. In other words, as you drink, amen, as you open up the Word of God, this will cause you to be a mature. This will cause you to grow up and spiritually grow. Yeah, hallelujah. Because we know of a time, amen, it talks about it in 2 Peter, it talks about, or excuse me, 1 Peter, it talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about in verse 20, it says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation, talking about, but we were redeemed, amen. And verse 18 says, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The Lord Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. Hallelujah. But we find that the revelation and the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested now in these last times for us, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that our faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Tonight, we need to have a faith in God, and that comes through the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth, through the Spirit, amen, through unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, the Bible speaks of in Matthew chapter 5, he that has a pure heart shall see God. Tonight he's talking about, the Apostle Peter is speaking about loving one another with a pure heart fervently. In other words, like a fever, amen, being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. How are we born again tonight? It's by the Word of God. Nothing that was made that was without him that was made, but he was made out of things, amen. The Bible says he came into his own in John chapter 1, and his own received him not. But we were born again by the Word of God, amen, which liveth and abideth forever. Tonight, amen, heaven and earth might pass away, but his Word, the Word, will never pass away. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which is by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God. This is the good news that comes to you. The word of God coming and preaching. And he said there in chapter 2, he said, wherefore laying aside all malice, when you get the Word of God down on the inside of you, we're talking about being made nigh unto the blood by the blood of Christ. When you begin to open up the Word of God in your life, when you begin not only to be a hearer but a doer of the Word, it's not enough just to be a hearer, because the Bible says a hearer is going to deceive himself. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that a hearer only, be not a hearer only, but be a doer also, because if we're a hearer only tonight, it's like a man looking into a glass, beholding himself, and forgets what manner of man he is. Tonight, amen, we need to be a doer of the Word of God and not only a hearer only, because we can deceive ourselves because of hearing the Word of God. We can think that we have it, but we don't have it, being just a hearer only. And the Bible says that as we hear the Word of God, we begin to lay aside all malice. We begin to lay aside all guile and hypocrisies. We begin to lay aside the things of being hypocritical and envies and all evil speakings.
Amen.
As newborn desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. How will you grow? Well, you're drawn nigh by the blood and by the Word of God. When it comes in, there's a milk in the Word of God. And amen, even in the natural, milk will build your structure. But as you begin to glean the milk of the Word of God and sincere milk, it, like it says, desire. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your hell. Heart. And so that's how we grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. It says, to whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He said, ye also are lively stones. This cornerstone, this living stone, was the cornerstone which was Christ. We can, as we taste of the Word of God and find the grace of God. Remember, we're saved by grace. And as we taste of the Word of God, it brings out the grace of God into our eyes. And so we become to the living stone, which is Jesus Christ. The men, amen, that were, amen, that disallowed, amen, the master builders, amen, disallowed this stone, this Jesus. But this Jesus was chosen of God and precious. He said, ye also are lively stones. In other words, we're living stones. Are build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same was made the head of the corner. And so we need to know tonight that we, in verse 8, it says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. To who? To those who are disobedient, to those who are disallowed. But tonight, if we'll build, amen, on this foundation that was laid inside, the tried stone, the chief cornerstone, even the stone that was in the wilderness, and Moses was instructed to smite it. And when he smote it, amen, water came forth out of the rock in the midst of the wilderness. And there are some of you underneath the sound of my voice that you've been are walking in the wilderness. You're walking in desolate places. But I tell you tonight that the rock of provision has already been smoked, amen, and already been talked to. And there's waters of refreshing no matter where you're at, no matter what circumstance you are. And it's God is calling you to come to a growth. God is calling you to come from the places, amen, where you're at. You know, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, I believe it is, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, thought as a child, understood as a child. But he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. We're children tonight. Amen. The Bible says to be in malice, be children, you know, but be understanding, be men. Tonight we need to grow up. Amen. That we're not tossed around by every wind of doctrine, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And the Bible says, amen, that which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed, but you are a chosen generation. You need to know tonight that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Just like he said, in past you were far off. But I'm talking about past time. Those times are gone. Tonight we need to be the children of God. We need to be the chosen generation. We need to be the royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. We need to be the ones that are showing forth the praises because God has called us out of that. He's called us, amen, to grow into the light. You know, the only way a thing can grow, nothing can grow in darkness tonight, church. And you don't need to walk at it any longer in your darkness. There are some underneath the sound of my voice, you're walking in darkness. But God is calling you to the light. He's calling you to the marvelous light to grow. Amen. Plants cannot grow without life. Life cannot go forth without the life. And tonight, amen, the Bible says in John chapter 1, in him was the light, and the light was the light of men. Hallelujah. And you need to know tonight that there is that light. The Bible teaches this in Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. So as we open the word of God, we're opening up a light, a great light. Amen. But now the people of God which have not seen, but now have obtained mercy. Tonight we've got the promise of mercy tonight. Tonight we've got the promise of grace. Amen. As the word of God comes in, we are to lay aside malice. We're to lay aside envy. We're to lay aside anger. We're to pay all these things because these are childish things. I'm talking about a spiritual growth tonight. And going back to Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, hallelujah, back in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Some of you have failed, amen, you are far off. You were in, amen, a lot of times, amen, when a child is disobedient, amen, they put them in what's called time out. Amen, when you're disobedient, amen, God doesn't put you in time out, but you put yourself in a time. You put yourself in a corner, but God's calling you out of that corner of darkness tonight, church. He's calling you to grow up in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He brought down that middle wall partition that was separating you. That wall, amen, that the enemy has put up. Amen, because he is our peace, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. He will law, commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace. Amen. The new ordinances, when he hung on the cross, the Bible speaks of in Genesis chapter 3, said, I will put enmity between thy seed, amen, and the seed of the woman. But amen, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, that enmity was reconciled. He gave a reconciliation and made one new man. Amen. Because the Bible says that the Son of Man was to be glorified. He began to speak unto them. Hallelujah. And began to talk to them. Amen. In Luke, I believe it's Luke chapter 21. And as he began to speak to them, amen, he said, the Son of Man, amen, is to be glorified. When he's talking about the Son of Man, that was the humanity side of Jesus Christ. That was the flesh side that he was robed in. Amen. And amen. Because they had even said, well, we have heard that Christ abided forever. Truly he does. Truly the Messiah abides forever. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, that he was cut off, but not for himself. When he hung on the cross, he said, except I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, when he was lifted up on the cross, amen, of Calvary, amen, all men would be brought to him. All men would be drawn to him. Hallelujah. All men, but you have to grow up. You have to be born again, amen, and go from the flesh into, amen, to the spiritual birth, because there must be a new birth. There must be a new man. Hallelujah. There must be the newness of life. As Pastor Jones and Brother Year was all speaking about a new year already. This is a new life. God wants you to walk in a new life in the natural realm. We're celebrating a new day, a new birth. You have to understand tomorrow will be another new day. Hallelujah. And amen. It's the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For we have both reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Amen. You need to know that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, that curse was nailed to the cross. Principalities and powers. Amen. Put in the grove thereby. Hallelujah. The Bible said, and came and preached peace to you which were afar and to them that were nigh. I'm talking about the Prince of Peace according to Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Church tonight, every one of you on each side of my world, you have access. There's an access point. And it's by the Spirit. And we need to grow. Amen. And we need to grow in his grace. We need to grow in the knowledge. Yeah, that's what it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're not going to go there, but hallelujah. That's what it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, I believe it is. He said, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When you come and are drawn by the blood of Jesus Christ, when you begin to eat a man of the flesh, when you begin to have communion with him, when you receive him as your Lord and Savior and make a confession of faith, hallelujah, you believe in your heart that you, that the Lord, the God the Father, has raised him from the dead. He's quickened you to sit together. We've been one, even though we were far off through our flesh, now we've had access. The wall's been broken down. Now we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Church, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to grow up. Amen. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he wanted the inheritance. He wanted the inheritance of the father. And the Bible says not many days since after he received the inheritance of his father, he went out and with riotous living spent all that he had. He began to become one, hallelujah, but the Bible says he came to himself. And he said, even in my father's house, the servants have more than enough bread to spare. Those of you that have been wandering, those of you, amen, that have been on a childish rampage, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to man up and woman up and come home to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for you to come home to the Father. He already said all things are now made ready. It's time for you to come home tonight. It's time for you to grow up, amen, and be that man or that woman coming back and return to the Lord Jesus Christ, because all things are ready. It's supper time, church. And the Bible says it's no longer amen. Time for the children of God to be strangers and foreigners outside the house of the Father. It's time for you to come home, church. It's time for an incoming. It's time for the remnant to come together. He's made peace. He's made one new man. I don't care what you've done. It's time for you to make amends. If you daddies out there, you mamas out there, you sons, you daughters, it's time for you to make amends with the people. Amen. I don't care what they've done. Make amends. Forgive them. Reconcile with them. Those of you, if you see one overtaking a fault, grow up. How do you spiritually grow up? Those of you that are spiritual, restore them with the spirit of meekness. There's a spirit of meekness we have access tonight. And then the Bible says, and I build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Church, tonight, when we're in that household of God, we're building the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone, whom all the building fitly framed together. God's bringing it all together right now. He's gathering it all together. He's a master builder. Grow up into a holy temple in the Lord. How do you grow? You grow into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom you also are building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Why do you need to grow? Because you need to grow up to a temple. Why do you need to grow? I just gave you the answer. So that God's Spirit, God's name can come down, and as you grow, you've gone from a cornerstone, you've gone from the foundation of the apostles and prophets, you brought off that chief cornerstone, and now it's a building fit together. You're growing, and now it's a temple made and grown up so that the Spirit of God and the name of God can dwell in you. It's time to grow up, church. God's calling you home. It's time to come home and be mature men and women of God. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. That's wonderful word of God there. So if you'd like to be a part of this, we'll call in on 310-742-1759. Go ahead and do it. So we'll put you right on the line here with us just to obey the Lord. So I'm on the find out who this one is and get these prayer requests, and I'll get Tim to sing a song there. 937, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hello, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother Green, Sister Green here in Springville, Ohio. And we just jumped on here, missed a little bit of the first of it. And just glad to be with you tonight.
Praise the Lord. We're glad that you called in and a part of it. You're with us, sir. So I'll let Betty read the prayer request and let Tim sing a song. Then we'll get you in zone here to obey the Lord, whichever one I want to go first in.
Praise God. It's good to be back here. And we just want to let everybody know that Brother Bob Hicks is in the hospital. He's not doing good at all. The doctor's done a catheter for his kidneys, and it infected him all through his body. And he might be coming home Friday, but hospice will be taking care of him from here on out. So let's remember Brother Bob. God's still able to bring him up out of that bed. And we got Keith Green, Edith Hampton, Fred Brannon that has cancer. Let's remember all those who are really needing a touch from God. Remember my two sisters, my oldest sister, Margaret, that lost her husband a few months back. My sister Eloise has went out to be with her in Arizona, so she'll be flying back this week, so remember her. And remember all of our lost family that need God. Remember Kyle in your prayers tonight. And pray for me. I broke my toe this morning, and my toe's really hurting me, so just remember that. And there's a lot of people at church that are sick with the flu. Ella May, she broke her hip and her ankle, and her sister Peggy broke her hip. And let's pray for all the homeless in this bitter cold weather that we're having. And let's remember Florence Clowers. She needs a healing in her body, and the Kevin Miller family, they need God to move on some things. And Miss Bowers had a stroke, and she needs to be saved. And let's remember Sister Frida tonight. I don't know what's wrong with her, but she's usually on here with us. Let's remember Sister Debbie tonight.
Praise the Lord. I want to say that, let's just remember them prayer requests there. And anybody else got any prayer requests that want to be made known? I'd like to say that I want everybody to remember me. I was up at the airport Friday and taking my sister-in-law up there to fly out to go to Arizona, but they canceled her flight and she had to come back home. But in the meantime, I stepped on some ice up there and my feet went out from under me and I fell flat on my back on that concrete and I was looking straight up at the sky. And I've been real sore ever since then, so it's hard for me to get up and down. So I'm just bruised up real good. I'm not got no broke bones, I don't think. But anyway, God knows all about it, so I need just to remember me and pray for me there. So I'll ask him to go ahead and, well, let's see. Anybody got any prayer requests, let them be made known at this time. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll let Tim go ahead and sing here then. And just to worship the Lord with him as he sings this song.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I know the Bible says you'll reap what you sow, and I know from a tiny seed God can make things grow, but there's got to be a seed placed in the ground, watered by His Spirit while it's laying round, and it will grow in the fertile soil of His Word. Standing calm, no strong wind will make it fall. One planted in seed, one watered, the God made it grow. Seeds are planted in our hearts, God made it so. And with proper care, a sprout appears. Then the leaves unfold, but there's gotta be a seed placed in the ground, watered by His Spirit while it's laying round, and it will grow in the fertile soil of His Word. One day it will be standing tall. Make it fall. one planet at least, one water that God made it grow.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Appreciate that wonderful song there. Remember Brother Eddie Bolton, too. He's not been on here in a while with us. Don't know exactly what's going on with him, but God knows. So let's remember him and pray for him. And Brother Green, you want to lead us in the prayer there before we go ahead any further in the service?
Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father. We ask, Lord, that you move by your Spirit. Father, reach down, touch these, Lord. It's been requested tonight. And Lord, we're lifting them up. We're praying, Father, that you'd heal them, Lord, that are sick of them. Lord, we're praying for Bob. We pray, God, that you move for him. And Lord, Brother Eddie Bolton, and each one, Lord, tonight, keep Green. And Lord, these with the hips that have fallen and breaking, Lord, we just pray, God, that you would reach
Lord,
in,
you the
Lord, and heal their bodies, Lord, we ask, God, that you would help people, Lord, tonight that are struggling, Lord, that you would reach down, Lord, in the hospitals, in different places where people are tonight, and Lord, you would touch them, and those with flu and respiratory problems, Lord, we praying, God, that you'd move for him, Father, that you would minister, Lord, touch with your word, take the soreness out of his body, Lord, touch his head and heal that toe, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, with the pain, Father, out of her toe, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, and Kyle, we're lifting him up to you, Father, that you would move for him. Lord, you move for people tonight that are in trouble and move around the globe and across the seas, Father, in this United States of America. Father, we're lifting it up, Father. We're praying, Lord, for them that are in authority and them in high places, our ministers and servants, the handmaidens. Lord, we lift them up in the name of Jesus, them. Lord, that are discouraged tonight, we lift up, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that healing flow through the land, that the angels of heaven be dispatched, and Lord, that the ministering angels minister, Lord, we pray, Father, their loved ones, to them that are lost, God, and bring them in, Father, and deliver them from the things that's hindering them from coming to Christ. Help them repent and humble themselves and seek your face, and Lord, and get sincere with you, Father. We're asking you, Lord, to do it. We're asking you, God, to minister. Asking you, Lord, to move in this service tonight, Father, and bless souls all around them. Globe tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, be glorified, be magnified, lifted up, exalted, Lord. We praise you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Just go ahead there, Brother Green. Obey the Lord, your sister Green, either one of you there want to.
All right, I'll go first, Brother Yearwood. I'm thankful to be on the broadcast tonight. We've been having a round, it seemed like, with sickness, but we're getting better little by little. Healing's coming in, and the answer's on the way, and I believe Jesus hears us when we pray, and, you know, that's one thing we have to learn as we walk with the Lord. We have to realize that God's not Santa Claus, that you know, we have to put forth faith to believe, and we have to, sometimes we have to have a trial of our faith, and we have to stand strong in faith, giving glory to God, and not back up and say, well, I guess God didn't hear my prayer, but God does hear our prayer, and we need to stand in that liberty where Christ has made us free and not get back in that bondage of disbelief and get entangled again with all the things that we used to do when we were living in sin. But I believe tonight, if I understand right, that we're preaching tonight on the subject of growth in Christ and growing up in Him. And I'm glad that I started out in this. I was a young man. I was in my 20s when I got saved. And I was still a young man, but I didn't know much about the Bible. And as soon as I got saved, first thing I wanted to do was get in a Bible, get me a Bible.
and start to find out what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to, how am I supposed to live, and what is my conduct for this Christian life, and how can I live to please God? And so I started out in this, you could say I was a baby, that's what I was, a baby Christian. You know, you might be 80 years old, and you just get saved, and you're a baby Christian. You may have been in the world for 80 years and know a lot about what the world's got going on and that, but you might be a doctor or you might be a lawyer, and you might know things that a lot of people don't know. But when it comes to living for Jesus, I tell you, we must go to the book. We must go and find out what does God's word say about it, because God is going to judge us one day according to the books. And this book of life is the word of God. I believe the book of life is the word of God. And there's no life outside of God's word. And there may be another book that he's got names in, which is called the book of life. And I don't really know for sure, never seen it, but the Bible talks about the book of life. And one day the book of life will be opened, and I want my name to be in the book. And I thank God that Jesus made it possible that we could all have our names in the Lamb's book of life. And he died as the Lamb of God, and he was that sacrifice that paid the price for you and I and all mankind. And whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. The Bible tells us that we can be saved. I talked to a man one time at work. I said something to him about being saved, and he said, I can't be saved. And I looked at him, and I was kind of surprised. And he said, well, I could make a good stab at it, but I could never be a Christian. And, you know, it's sad when people say such things as that because they don't really know what they're saying. And at that time, I was just a young Christian, didn't really know how to answer the man as far as that goes, didn't know much about the Bible, just had gotten saved myself. And so there's people out there that thinks that they can't be saved, but the Scripture tells us that whosoever will can come. And I'm starting out here, first of all, we must come in and be saved. Before we can ever grow in this Christian walk, we must come in and we must give our heart to God. We must give our heart to the Father through Jesus Christ, through faith in him. He is the Savior of the world. You know, I was thinking, this is a little offline, I guess, but I was reading about Joseph. And, you know, in Egypt, there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and there was going to be 7 years of famine. And the famine was going to be so bad that it was going to eat up the years of plenty, and the land would starve. And God gave Joseph a dream, and Joseph was just a young man, and God gave him that dream on how to save all of Egypt. He had been taken down there as a slave and put in that place. And when he told Pharaoh the dream, Pharaoh made him second to himself in the whole kingdom. And they had to bow the knee to Joseph, that young man. And that young man told Pharaoh what to do. He said, build silos, and he said, store up the grain in the 7 good years so that there'll be something to eat in the 7 bad years. And I was thinking tonight, the name that Pharaoh gave Joseph, and you can find it in the book of Genesis, and I can't pronounce it probably exactly right, but the name that he gave him was Savior of the World. And it's quite a long name. I can't pronounce it, but I don't have it turned over there right now, but if you want to look that up in Genesis, you can find it. But the name that Pharaoh gave Joseph was Savior of the World. Now, he was a type of Christ, and Jesus was going to come and be that Savior of the world. And Pharaoh did not know that, but Pharaoh gave him that name. And it's just something, you know, when you get into the Word of God and you start finding out these things that the Bible tells you, and it builds your faith, and you know, it has to be true. It has to be the Word of God. Egypt was the first kingdom, I believe, that was mentioned pretty much so in the Bible there. And Joseph, you know, Abraham went down into Egypt, Isaac went down into Egypt, and Joseph and Jacob finally ended up there. And there's where Moses was born in Egypt and came out, and God gave him the law. I'm a little off the subject tonight, but we're talking about Christian growth, and anything you learn in the Bible will help you along the way. And but going back, I just want to throw that in. But going back, I was thinking about Jesus, how he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in Luke chapter 2. I want to read a little bit there. I'm going to turn it over to it right now if I can find it here. But the Lord's good tonight. And I got saved when I was a young man, and I got into church. I went to all the revivals I could go, you know, that I could afford to go to. And I went to those revivals, and I learned what the Bible said. I went to Sunday school. I hardly ever missed a church service. And I worked in the bus ministry and door-to-door ministry. I did all I could do for the Lord and worked a full-time job. And I know there's a lot of people does that. But, see, I had a desire to do something for God. When you get born again, you get, you know, like Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blew, or the wind blows, and you can see that the wind's moving something. You can see the trees are moving. You can't see the wind, but you know that something's going on. And when a person gets saved, genuinely gets saved and gets the Spirit of God, you will see a difference in that person. You know, you'll start to look at that person and say, well, they're not doing this anymore. They're doing something different. They're not talking the way they used to talk, and they've not got that old bad attitude that they used to have, and seems like they're a different person. What's happened to them? Well, it's because they got a different spirit. It's because they got the Spirit of Christ in them. And we find here, Luke chapter 2, it says here in verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So there was growth even in Christ. We know that when he was a child, was not in the position that he was when he began his ministry, when he was 33 and a half years old. He had to grow, and the Bible tells us here that he grew in spirit, and he grew in favor with man, and he grew in favor with God. There in the 52nd verse, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So, you know, whoever you are, whatever your call that you have today, when you're born into the kingdom of God, you still must have growth. You still must apply yourself to the Word of God. And Jesus went to the temple, and he studied. He talked to them, and he asked them questions, and he conversed with those religious leaders, and they were astonished at his understanding, because he had an understanding that they did not have. But they did not know that he had been with the Father. But even though he had been with the Father, I still believe that he had to grow up as a child, as a babe in a manger. He grew up as a child, and he grew up until he was 33 and a half years old, and he began the ministry where the Holy Ghost came upon him in the form of a dove there in the River Jordan, and he was baptized, and he began to preach, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," and he began to cast out devils and heal the sick bodies and do the miracles that he did. After that, the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he received that power in Acts chapter 10, I believe it is. It said how God, Peter went down to Cornelius' house and preached unto them. And he said in Acts 10:38, I believe it is, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God was backing him, and God will back you and I tonight if we get down to business with the Lord and we do what it takes to get the blessing of God upon our life, and we follow the instruction book, which is the Word of God, and we begin to study, and we begin to see what it is we need to do next. If what we're doing is not working, why don't we try something else? Why don't we go and look a little deeper into the Word of God and say, well, you know, Jesus said we could cast out devils, and Jesus said we could lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And when we see these things seem like they're not happening, we need church, talking to the whole church now, and I'm just one member in it, but we need to look and examine ourselves and say, what are we doing wrong? Are we doing something wrong? Are we slack in some area in our life? Because, see, we're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and we're climbing up God's holy mountain. And we should be getting higher and higher in the mountain of God. And the higher we get in this mountain of God, we should be able to look out, and we should be able to see things. You know, the eagle goes up in the high places, and he gets up in that high place, and he looks, and he's got a vision that he can see for miles, and he can see things that other birds can't see. And God's given us a vision. Because we're born again of the Spirit of God, and we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the old things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. You know, the things I used to do used to bring darkness in my life, and it used to dull my senses, and it used to cause me to stagger and stumble, and it used to cause me to use a judgment that wasn't accurate, and now I've got a more accurate judgment than I ever had before, because I've got somebody on the inside that's helping me out. He's given me understanding that I never had before. He's given me wisdom that comes down from heaven above, and it don't come from this worldly wisdom that's evil and devilish and all the time trying to stir up trouble. But I tell you, I thank God for that heavenly dove down in my soul that gives me peace when times are not going good and things are going bad. But we're talking about Christian growth, and Jesus grew in stature, and he grew in wisdom and understanding, and he grew also in body. He grew up. He was 12 years old when he went down there amongst them teachers, and they started looking for him and didn't know where he was at, but they found him in the temple, and he said, they said, well, what are you doing down here? I'm just putting in my words tonight. But he said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? I've got a father that's, you know, I had an earthly father, but you know what? I've got a heavenly father. And Jesus said, was telling them, my Father in heaven, that's the one that I've got to put first in my life. And that's the way it is, child of God, tonight, you and I. We may have an earthly father. We know we do. And we might, we have an earthly mother and grandma and grandpa and that. But I tell you, we got to put God number one in everything that we do if we want the blessing of God upon our life. And I won't hold too long, Brother Yearwood and Sister Green. I think got a little something here to say. And I'll turn it back to you and let you do what you will there. Thank you, though.
Okay, we appreciate it. Let me find out who this call-in right here is in Sister Green, and you can go ahead and obey the Lord.
Okay.
559, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Go ahead there, 559. Tell us who you are and where you're at there. You're on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, Sister Green, just go ahead.
Praise God. Brother Yearwood, it might be Sister Gladys. She just messaged me a while ago, said she can hear, but she doesn't have her headsets on to be able to speak. So that could be her listening in.
Okay, that might be her then.
Praise God.
Okay, just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, I won't take up too much time, Brother Yearwood. I was thinking in Psalms 111 and 10, talks about the fear of the Lord. Brother Clint was hitting all over it, and he didn't even know that I had these already pulled up, getting ready to deliver what God had given me. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good
Amen.
Understanding have all that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despiseth wisdom and instruction. So I was thinking here in 1 Corinthians number chapter 2, Paul hears a talking. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Here he's talking about worldly wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2 says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't want to find out ahead of time about their business, but he come to them on the business for the Lord. All he wanted to know was Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't want to know all their affairs and what all is going on, and in case God wanted to use him in the word of knowledge or in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He didn't want to know a thing about him. You know, sometimes I know here in a Pentecostal church, you know, we know that the gifts are used in many different ways. But, you know, I love when someone doesn't know me, Brother Yearwood, and they come to me saying, thus saith the Lord, and gives it to me right down the line, just how, you know, I know that it had to been from God because they didn't know me from nobody.
Amen.
Some people get on the phone and they know everybody's business, and then they go and they want to look like they're real spiritual. And you know, there's a growth in this. There's a growing process in this. And it's not finding out about your brother and sister's business before church. Praise God. It's not that
Amen.
Kind of a knowledge. Hallelujah. Verse 3 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Praise God. And your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, ye have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There's a spiritual growth right there. Praise God. You know, many places in the Bible it says, he that hath an ear, let them hear what thus saith the Lord. You know, that's a spiritual hearing of God's word. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of men which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Clint was talking about a while ago how the things that he knows today, the wisdom that he has today, is because he that is in him is greater than he that is in the world. When we come in and we repent, we start out as babes. When we're born in the natural from our mother's womb, we begin to grow, and we start out with the milk. And when we come into Christ, we begin with the milk of the word. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, said, I would have talked to you with the meat of the word, but I had to talk to you carnal. He would have spoke to them spiritually, more or less, but they wouldn't have understood it. We can't give a baby a steak. They'll choke. They have no teeth to chew. They have to take the bottle. When they begin to walk, they take little baby steps. They fall down. They get right back up. And it's up to us parents to help that little child along until they're fully walking on their own. The Bible talks about let the young old women teach the young women. Praise God. Verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This Bible, this word that we have, that we eat, John the Revelator had to take up the little book and he had to eat it. And we eat this word. We digest this word. Praise the Lord. And it's under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to understand it. It was written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. To understand it has to be under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We cannot understand this if I don't care how many schools, how many seminars, seminaries that we've gone to, Bible colleges, I don't care how many, without the Spirit of God, we can't understand this at all. Paul says, I didn't come to you with excellent speech. I didn't come to you with enticing words. He came to them that with the simplicity of the gospel, that they would understand this. It's so simple that a child can understand this. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we have to have the Spirit of God to discern the things of God. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we read a lot in Proverbs and in the books of Psalms, it teaches us a lot about wisdom and understanding and instruction. And that is a godly instruction, godly wisdom, godly knowledge. It says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, you know, we've got to pray and build up our faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. In the book of Jude, it talks about that. And to increase daily in the Lord and die out to the flesh and the carnality. And, You know, if we read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, God has given, Jesus has given the instruction to the disciples on how to live and how to treat people. And, you know, it says a peacemaker will be called children of God. So, you know, those things that we can live by daily and read our scriptures daily and just digest this word and hold it dear to us. John laid his head in the bosom of Jesus. We need to lay our head in the Word of God, lay our head in Jesus' breast by reading His Word and eating it daily and praying and seeking. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you just come in and you've just got saved, pray the Lord will give you understanding and wisdom, godly wisdom, and don't read every book that comes along. You know, it says, know them that labor among you. If a good Christian that you have confidence in says, you know, read this book, Smith Wigglesworth or something, go ahead and read that. But listen, you know, it says, and I believe it's 1, talks about the counsel, taking godly counsel, not to standeth in the seat of the scornful in the ways of a sinner. And I don't remember, Brother John or Brother Yearwood might know that better than I do, but to take the counsel from the godly men and women and listen to them and get in Sunday school and get in Bible studies, get in prayer, praise God. And I hope I help somebody, but we need to grow in this. He says in Matthew 24, it says, woe to them that give suck in those days, talking about the word, that if you're on the milk of the word and all kind of chaos is going on and the end of the world is, you know, if you talk to most religions, they all agree that this, we are definitely coming to the end of the world. And he said to not let your flight be in the winter. That means don't be cold on God. Don't be, he said, he used to wink at ignorance, but he won't wink at ignorance anymore. He said, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Praise God. And but he gave us this word that we would not be ignorant. If you are saved and you're asking God to forgive you of your sins, you know, right there, to fear God is the beginning of wisdom. And Brother Yearwood, I'm going to turn it back to you. I've taken up too much time already. And thank you for this opportunity and just appreciate you all.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate you and appreciate the word. This is God's time. It's not our time. So we just want everybody to feel free to obey the Lord and speak what thus saith God. So I'm going to ask Timothy if he's ready to sing another song before I get into the word again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just worship the Lord with him. Praise God.
Working for my good. Working for my good. Life was calm, the place it seemed, but Lord, ordinary thing. I was wondering where the road to lead. Then I looked into his word, and my suspicions were confirmed. He was doing things I could not see. Just for me, he was working for my good, all on my behalf, guiding every step, lightening up my path, planning out my days, putting me together, molding me from clay, making something better. Before I understood, he was working for my good. You and I are in his hands. He's building from the master plan, making sure the pieces fit just right. He's working from the inside out, and when he's done, there'll be no doubt. We will be just one he had in mind. All the time, he was working for my good, all on my behalf, guiding every step, lighting up my path, planning out my days, putting me together, molding.
clay, making something better before I understood he was working for my good. He's molding and making, cutting and taping like he said he would. He's pressing and turning, carefully working all things for my good, for my good. He was working for my good, all on my behalf, guiding every step, lighting up my path, planning out my days, putting me together, molding me to clay, making something better before I understood. He was working for my good, before I understood. He was working for my good.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, I think God's working for every one of our goods if we just only look at it and just trust Him and believe Him. Brother John, if you'll be ready there in a few minutes, I'll let you go ahead again here in a little bit there.
All right.
We're going to start tonight in John. In John, the 15th chapter, in verse 1, I am the true vine, and the Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bringeth not every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth much fruit, more fruit. You know, I want us to thank you just for a few minutes. Praise God. You know, he said there in the verse 2, it said, every branch in me that bringeth that beareth, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You know, I want us to thank her just for a few minutes tonight. You know, praise God, we may be a confessing Christianity. We may be telling the world that we're Christians. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. This verse is telling me if we're not bringing forth fruit, if we're not bringing forth the deliverance of God's word and bringing forth signs and wonders and miracles, there's going to be some taken away. And I tell you what, I don't want to be taken out. I want to be the one, like right there it says, and every branch that bringeth, that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring, that it may bring forth much fruit. You know, more fruit. Praise God. I tell you, the devil is a liar and a father of it tonight. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I command that he take his hands off from me and off from my reading because I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to bring forth fruit for the Lord. That's the reason why that I'm here tonight right here on this radio broadcast to bring forth fruit before this lost and dying world to tell them that they must be born again if they want to make heaven their home. I tell you, it's a time that people cry out and cry loud, wake up, because the time is coming and the time is running out. There won't be no more preaching. The time will come when all of this will be ceased. Then it'll be too late then. But praise God, I'm telling you tonight that we need to bring forth much fruit. And we can do that by telling the world that they must repent, that they must grow up. You know, praise God, this is a spiritual growth. They've been speaking about it here tonight. Brother John's been speaking about it. Spiritual growth, hallelujah. People need to grow up. We need to grow up in the wisdom and the knowledge of God's word. We need to seek out his face while he is near, because there's a time coming that he won't be so plentiful before us, because if we've not brought forth much fruit, my friend, we'll be taken out and we'll be casted into a fire to be burnt. Let's look a little bit further, right here in verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, praise God, we're cleaned tonight through this word of God. I'll tell you what, through this word, it will cleanse us, and it will sanctify us, and it will make us clean. It'll make us fit for the kingdom of God, but it's going to take time, my friend, for us to grow up. It's going to take time, like Sister Green, I believe, was brought forth there a while ago about the word. Praise God, we got to, you know, Paul said there, you've drunk milk long enough. He said it's time now to get some of the meat of the word. It's time to now that we take this word, my friend, and grow up with it. It's time that we plant this word down in our spirit, that one day after a while, that we'll hear him say, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rulers over many. Let's go on down into the fourth verse. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the branch, in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look into the next verse. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Praise God. You know, tonight you take a tree limb out here. You take a tree, an apple tree, and if you keep that thing trimmed down and cleaned up like it should be, praise God, it's going to bring forth much fruit. But if you don't keep them dead limbs cut off from it, it's going after a while. It'll kill the tree. It will sap it to death. But praise God, I'm glad tonight that God is weeding people out. I'm glad tonight that he is calling people out from the marvelous out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I'm glad tonight, praise God, that people can take heed to this word of God, and they can turn their lives around, that they can live for the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can do nothing by himself. Praise God, we got to be rooted and grounded in Jesus. We've got to be, we're the limbs, and we've got to be on that branch. My friend, we've got to grow up, and we got to hang in there. If we don't, we'll be cut off, and we'll be burnt, just like the others. Praise God, but I'm glad tonight to report that I am one that's grown in to that true a branch, and one day after a while, I'll praise God, I'll hear him. I'll say, well done, you've been faithful over a few things, and I'm going to make you rulers over many. I tell you, no man can do this on his own, but he's got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to look to the author and the finisher of his faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. You know, that's what I was saying there. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are a tree limb. We're on the right branch, and we better stay in the right branch if we want to make heaven our home. If we want to do something for the Lord, we need to stand in that branch and stay rooted in that true branch. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful tonight. I praise God that we can. And let's look into verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, that we are. Praise God. Let's look in, let's look into verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, that's what the Lord is telling us here. Praise God, that we shall ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. Praise God, we got to abide in the Word. We've got to continue in the Word of God. We've got to continue believing the Lord Jesus Christ, taking his word for what he says. I tell you what, we are cleansed. We are clean through the, hallelujah, through this Word of God that we now read, that we now preach. That's what cleanses, is this Word. We get sanctified. You know, we first get saved, then we get sanctified, then we get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the reason why I said sanctification is not preached much anymore, but people needs to know that they've got to be sanctified. They've got to get their life cleaned up. They've got to get the Word of God abiding down in them if they want to get themselves where they need to be with God. I tell you, I don't know about these that still say that they're a Christian and they're sanctified and they're filled with the Holy Ghost when they've got just the same old talk that they had and the same old walk that they had. My friend, they've got to be a change. God's Word, Paul said, behold, all old things passed away, and I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm yes. talking about spiritual growth tonight. I'm talking about people needs to grow up in the wisdom and the knowledge of God's Word. They need to get themselves cleansed through the Word of God. They need to get sanctified and be holy, be dedicated, be pure, be undefiled, and be blameless according to God's Word. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's something that we need to know tonight. Praise God, that we've got to do this if we want to make heaven our home. Hallelujah. Let's look into Acts, the 11th chapter, 17th chapter and 11th verse. These were more noble than these in Thessalonians, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things was so. You know, praise God. You know, as Sister Green was saying there a while ago, we need to know, praise God, not just grab up any old book and read it, but we need to know, praise God, that we are going to be reading the true Word of God. We need to know, hallelujah, praise God, that we need to study the Word. The Scripture says, study the Word to show thyself approved, a workman, not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of God. I tell you what, I know I have to say, oh me, on myself, because I don't read the Word every day, but I need to be. I need to have a greater desire. I pray all the time, God, give me that desire to read your Word, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because he that hungereth and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And that's what God's Word tells us, and that's what it's going to take. And right here in verse John, verse 14, it says this: if ye love me, keep my commandments. And that's one of his commandments. I'll praise God to study out what thus saith God. I tell you what, it's going to take us to study in God's Word. And it's going to take, I look into verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm glad tonight that I know, praise God, that I know that I've got someone praying for me. I look right there again. I like that. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, praise God, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father. I'm going to pray, and he's going to send a comforter, and he's going to send it, and he's going to be with you forever. I'm glad tonight to know, I praise God, that we have a great promise of Jesus. We know that Jesus, when he tells us something, it's forever. It's going to stand. And he said that we would have a comforter that will stay with us forever. And I want you to know tonight, praise God, in the verse 17 it says, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad tonight to know that the Holy Ghost is going to be in us, and he's going to dwell in us, and we should know him. If we don't know him, then there's something wrong. Praise God, we need to know that we need to know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost would dwell in us. And praise God, we need to know, hallelujah, that he is the comforter, that he's going to live with us throughout eternity. He's going to stay with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He won't never forget us. Praise God, I'm glad tonight to know that his word will revive in us. Hallelujah. Let's look into verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost telling us, sir. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, to know that the Holy Ghost has come unto me. I'm so thankful that I received him back in 1975. I don't remember the day and the month of it. I know it wasn't too awful long after I made a change after I got saved January the 19th at 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning. God come into my life. He changed me. He made me a changed person. And I'm so glad, hallelujah. And I know it wasn't just a few months after that until I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was evident speaking in other tongues, but I had to lay down some cigarettes. I had to lay down some things. I had to get rid of some things that was in my life for him to first come in. I tell you what, people that says that they can still smoke and they can still do this and they can still do that and still have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't know about it because I know that I couldn't. I know that the Lord delivered me from it before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you got your Bible, just look into the 19th verse. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, because Jesus lives, we shall live also. And you know, I praise God tonight. That I know, hallelujah, that I know that he lives because I see him. I see his works that he does. I see him of a morning when I get up. I see him at night time when I lay down. I see the promises of God still working with us, still doing the same things with us. And I tell you what, God is still God. He's still the same. He don't ever change. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look into verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that have my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God tonight, praise God, that he is making himself manifested unto us, and we can manifest ourselves unto him. I'm so thankful tonight that God so loved us enough that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, that is spiritual growth tonight. That is a letting God come into your life and changing you, making you have a pure and undefiled life before him. That one day after a while, he'll speak to you and he'll tell you that it's been well with you to come on in and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It'll be wonderful then, my friend, to hear of God's word and God telling you that. I tell you, it's a time and time that we turn our lives completely free to the Lord. It's time that we dig ourselves into this word of God that we can hear him say, it's been faithful. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rulers over many. I tell you what, let's look a little bit further in the 19th verse. Matthew 4, and start in verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, praise God, Jesus started telling them there. He said, it's time that you repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. You know, I tell you, that's been over 2,000 years ago since Jesus told them disciples that. And look how much closer today that it is for us. My friend, he told them, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know, I tell you what, it's time for us to realize that tonight. And look into verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, seeing two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. You know, praise God, I'm glad tonight to know, praise God, that Jesus saw them too, catching a net to catch out fish, because they were fishers. But let's look on down just a little bit further. And going on from... I missed 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, Jesus told them there, said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You won't have to worry about doing no more fishing. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And listen to this. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their net, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. You know, praise God. I'm glad tonight to know that Jesus, he told them disciples, and we see, praise God, that they got out there and they followed him. They left everything that they had and followed after Jesus. I'm glad tonight to know, praise God, that we have got to leave everything that we've got. We got to put Jesus first. He's got to be number one. He's not going to play a second fiddle to nobody, but he's going to be number one. And I'm glad tonight to know, praise God, that he called me, hallelujah, and I was willing to go, my friend, after I run for a while. And I tell you what, he's still calling people today. They don't need to be running. They need to be running to him. They need to be letting everything that they've got go and let Jesus make them fishers of men. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're being fishers of men. We're reaching out across this world to tell the good news about Jesus, to tell the people that they must repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. My friend, it's time that people turn their lives over to the Lord and look to him, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. I tell you what, I thank God for this. And I'm going to ask Brother Green if him or Sister Green want to come back and obey the Lord. We got 14 minutes left, so just come on back in there and obey the Lord.
Praise okay, Lord. Brother Yearwood, that was good preaching there. And, you know, Brother Yearwood said it right tonight. We have to, once we're born again, we must get our life and our house in order. I was thinking about the Old Testament king that, you know, his house, he didn't have his house in order, and the prophet of God went to him. And the prophet said, get your house in order, because you're going to die. And I believe it was Hezekiah. And I can't remember exactly where that's at tonight. But I tell you what, Hezekiah, he heard from the prophet, and he knew that his time was up. But he had a short time to live. He turned his face to the wall, and he began to call upon God. And he said, Lord, remember how I've lived before you. And, you know, he had did a lot of good things for the Lord and for God Jehovah there in the Old Testament. And he had did things. He had took idols out of the kingdom. He had cleaned it up to some degree. But there were some things that was yet lacking in the kingdom. And I don't know the whole situation there, but the Bible said that he was sick unto death. And the prophet went to him and said, I put your house in order, said you're going to die. And he immediately, he didn't say, well, prophet, you're wrong. He didn't say, he didn't question it. He turned his face to the wall, and he began to cry to God. And I tell you what, there's people that's been weighed in the balance, found wanting. There's people living on the edge of eternity, about to slip out and go into eternity tonight, all around this world. And, you know, you go into the graveyards and you look at the tombstones and you see different ages. You might see 80 years old on one tombstone. You might see 15, 16, and you might see a little child. And, you know, the Bible tells us if the little child, if the child dies before the age of accountability, that little child is going to heaven. That little child's in a better place. But I'll tell you what, if you ever want to see that little child again, Mama, Papa, you're going to have to get your heart right with God if you're not born again, if you're not saved tonight. If you don't have your name in that Lamb's Book of Life, there's going to be a day when he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And like Brother Yearwood said tonight there, he said we must be born again. And we must be born into this kingdom. Jesus went forth and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'll tell you, it's at hand tonight. I'll tell you, the Lord's coming back tonight. And I'll tell you, we don't know when he's coming, but we know that he's coming. And we know when he comes, the door is going to be shut. And they're going to begin to knock at the door. But the door is not going to open. You know, it was that way in Noah's day when the door... God shut the door. He took Noah and his sons' wives and Noah's wife into the ark, and he shut the door. And I'm afraid tonight that the door is going to be closed one of these days. And we're running out of time, church. If we're ever going to preach the gospel, we're going to have to preach it today. We're going to have to go and keep his commandments, like Brother Yearwood said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is his commandments tonight? The commandments of Jesus Christ. I think it's go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I think it's to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think it's to show compassion and love and mercy And the main thing is get the gospel out. Preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I tell you, like Brother Yearwood said tonight, there's going to be signs that should follow the believer. And I'm glad tonight that there is signs that follows the believers. You know, we don't see everybody healed, but there are some to get healed. And God is the judge of all these things. Sometimes it's not the pastor's fault. It's not the evangelist's fault. Sometimes it's the people in the pew that ain't living right, and they ain't pushing their plate back, and they ain't fasting, and they ain't calling on God, and they're not seeking him. And I'm not trying to down nobody. I know there's good people in our churches, and they're born again, and they're washed in the blood, and they're supporting the kingdom of God, and they're keeping the doors open. But if you're lacking and slacking somewhere along the line, if you're watching things on TV that you shouldn't be watching, if you're not getting yourself sanctified, I tell you, you better get your house in order. And I'm not trying to be mean. I love you tonight, and I want you to make it. I want to stroll over heaven with you some sweet day. Praise God. When all the troubles and heartaches is passed all away, I want to make it into that great kingdom that God went to prepare for us. And he said he's going to prepare a place, and where he was, that we would be there also. And I'm going to that place someday. But, you know, Peter and James and John, and those disciples, they left their father. They left and their mother, and they left everything they had. They left their businesses, and they followed Jesus. But they had that call upon them. They had that personal call. And, you know, we must do what we're called to do. We can't just walk off and leave a job if God don't want us to. We've got to provide for our families and things. And we've got to pray and seek the Lord till we know exactly what it is the Lord wants us to do. And he's not called every one of us to do the same thing. But he has called us to do something. He's called us to try to win souls, and he's called us to try to tell somebody about Jesus, try to tell them that he is the way, the only way. And I just thank the Lord tonight. I guess don't know what time it is. I don't know if Joanna's got anything more to say. I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood, but it's been a joy to be on your broadcast tonight. And I tell you, people, if you're listening in and you're not saved, you can make an altar and you can call on Jesus and you can have salvation because it's free. Christ paid it all. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Green. Done a wonderful job, Bart. I want to let Betty read the rest of the scriptures that we had laid out here, but I didn't speak on to her tonight.
2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Ephesians 2:21-22. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 4:11-15. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Appreciate the wonderful word there that was read. We've got about 4 minutes left, but, you know, I want us to thank you just for a minute about, let's see, where's that verse at that you read there about to walk in the Spirit? Okay, Galatians 5 and verse 16. It says, this I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know, praise God, tonight I'm so thankful, hallelujah, that we, praise God, if we're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, then we are to walk after the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God's not in the sinning business. And, you know, the word Christian, that means, hallelujah, that we are supposed to be Christ-like. And we're not supposed to be in the sinning business. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit of God and walking after God. You know, David, I believe it was, that said, God, just create me of a new spirit. Just create in my life of a new spirit. And, you know, that's what we need to do, praise God, is to cry out, God, just create in us a new spirit, that we don't want to desire to walk after the flesh. You know, whenever we're walking after the flesh, we're contrary to the Spirit of God. But I'm thankful tonight that we can walk after the Spirit of God, and we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I believe over there in 1 John it tells us that if we walk after the flesh, the pride of life and all of them are one day will vanish. But if we walk in the Spirit as He is the Spirit, praise God, it'll abide forever. And His Word, hallelujah, will live in us forever. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to walk after the Spirit of God. Let's look into Acts 1 and verse 8 there. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. You know, praise God, I thank God tonight that we have the power. God give us the power after we receive the Holy Ghost to conquer death, hell, and the grave. He give us a spirit tonight that we can conquer the enemy. We can put him under our feet. And he tells us there, God, to be witnesses into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and into the othermost parts of the earth. That's what we'll receive tonight. He give us that power, just like he did them disciples. He called over there fishing. He called them out, and he told them to come and follow him. He'd make them fishers of men. That's what he's done for us tonight. Praise God. I see that we've got probably about 35 seconds left, so We'll just say good night to everybody and God bless you. We appreciate everybody calling in. And so just keep us in your prayer. And Brother and Sister Green will be on Friday night from 10 until 12. So tune in and be with them on their broadcast. And tune in with us next Tuesday from 6 until 8. So God bless you. We love everybody, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.